And now it's time to say good morning to Peter Allam, who's going to talk to us today about legal matters, as always. Today in particular, all about competitions and raffles. Peter, very good morning on this, the 1st of September.
Yes, morning, first day of spring. Lovely day, nice and clear, although rain is expected, no problem. An interesting chat this morning, you know, and what prompted me to chat about it is that over the weekend around the supermarkets and that, there were little children running around with raffle tickets, please sir, buy a ticket, only 5 rand each. And I wondered to myself, you know, where does the money go? Mm. What happens? I mean, there's no doubt that in this day and age, with anything from a school point of view where you need to go on a sports tour, an education tour, clothing, books, everything, you know, money is required. There's no doubt about that. So I'm always one of those softies when I see the little kids come running around with a competition. One never ever knows if there is ever a winner. In fact, the one that I looked on had 20 tickets on it, didn't say what you're going to win at all. It just said, donation, please, competition, which was quite interesting, you know. So it didn't say that first prize is going to be a leg of lamb or first prize is going to be your car washed by the kids or something like that. And it makes you wonder what the position is. So strictly speaking, the law is such that indeed it is protected. So, you know, there are measures to control fundraising. You do need permits. There are obligations. It does carry criminal responsibilities with it. What is necessary? Let's work out that if you're going to run a competition, you need to make sure that you outline the rules. You know, it must be fair, it must be transparent, and it must be legally compliant. Those are the three requirements: fair, transparent, and legally compliant. So if you're going to do anything, like when you see win a car, when you see, you know, on a you get the weekend, I was bugged, electrical bicycle, push at, and then enter in a few details, and you can win an electric bicycle. Uh-huh. All of that needs to have competition rules, proper competition rules. You know, the prize must be known. You know, the eligibility must be there. It must say who the person is. You must be entitled to go back and ascertain exactly who is running the competition. Are they a proper legal entity? Okay, that one is a donation. Well, not a donation one, but the bicycle one is one where you can win a bicycle by just entering. I suppose that's purely a marketing tool that they're using to get you on board, that they can send you, you know, pamphlets and that on your marketing, on their marketing, shall I say. But it does stipulate what prizes are on offer, how the winners will be selected, and when they will be notified of their winning. And, you know, it's necessary there for fair and transparency to take place. So, you know, you need competition rules for anything like that. So when you're going to run the lotto, when you're going to run a joker draw like most of the clubs are doing throughout South Africa, it's turned out to be an excellent fundraiser, the joker draw throughout the country, whichever country, which I'm not country, but whichever club you go to, you'll find a joker draw, you know, with a large amount due. Our very own Cowleys had one at one stage. Since East Country Club has one, place like Carmouth Golf Club has one, Old Boys Club is big. I think all the clubs in town have it. So, you know, those there are a proper competition with rules that are up on the board and known to the people. And in those particular circumstances, there's got to be compliance with the Consumer Protection Act. A lot of people don't realize that you can't just pick up and run a joker draw, for example. You must make sure that you are compliant. You must make sure that, once again, transparency and fairness is involved, and there must be liability protection. In other words, you know, one must know what the position is with regard to liability, the terms and conditions. You must make sure that the funds are there and available. It's very important. And, of course, data protection as well comes into it. So you need to have your competition rules. You need to have your legal compliance. You need to build trust amongst the people that you're selling tickets to on a weekly basis or monthly basis. You need to have rules regarding a dispute resolution. Should there be a dispute, it must be clear, and operation clarity. So those are all necessary if one's going to do a joker draw or a draw for a bicycle or something like that. And it's common among schools. You know, there are all sorts of different things that we used to do. I mean, I remember when I was at school, the big thing was a big walk.
Yeah.
You know, a 20-kilometer walk, sponsor me at 10 cents a kilometer. I remember my very first one was 10 cents a kilometer. Mm, I walked 20 Ks, get a whole two rand out of the neighbors in the neighborhood. I had an envelope where I collected the coins in an envelope. You know, they could donate 10 cents, 1 cent a kilometer, or 5 cents.
Yeah.
What is it, a half a cent per kilometer and things like that. Now, all of that needed to be properly run, properly monitored, you know, and the trust had to be there. And that was a big thing. Big walks, I think, are still done by a number of schools.
Yeah.
You also often get a sheep draw. You know, if you've got a sports team going away, I mean, you know, you get the fishermen down there in our area on the coast, they go away and they do a sheep draw, win a bra, win a boat, that type of thing, you know. Not in the fishing competition, take a lucky ticket to win a boat. Seems to be the Ski Boat Club's annual thing there as well from time to time, and that type of thing. Now, all of that is what you call competition or fundraising.
Uh-huh.
And like I say, you require, you should be getting a permit to collect contributions, but so long as you do it properly, fairly, transparently, and that you're legally compliant. In other words, if anybody has a query, it must be sorted. There must be a go-to person, in other words.
Right.
So Wild Coast FM are going to run something, and Wayne is the nominated person. If I ask you, Wayne, when are you going to do the draw? You must be able to tell me.
Mm.
Wayne, what is the prize? You must be able to tell me. Wayne, how many tickets will be sold? You must be able to tell me. In other words, you must be compliant, you must be transparent, you must have all those details. You know, it's not a case of, oh, we've started this raffle, we're going to give away a boat, for example.
Yeah.
Oh, if we sell, you know, we just keep selling tickets, we've got no end date because every week we're just selling tickets and tickets and tickets. Everybody's keen to pay 100 rand to win a boat worth 120,000 or something like that. But, you know, that's not allowed. It must have an end date. Must have a date for the prize to be done. It must identify who is the seller of the ticket. It must confirm that the person is entitled to sell tickets. You know, often people jump onto the bandwagon and they take tickets and they sell them. I mean, in the different organizations I belong to, how often don't I find that we give books of tickets to guys? They never, ever return them, but I know that they've sold 10 or 20 tickets in the book, you know, and it's just sort of like, you know what, I don't know where my book is. That's totally unfair to the people that have bought the tickets.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to make sure. I mean, you know, raffles, simple little raffle. I mean, often you get a schoolboy raffle where, I mean, I've even seen raffles where people put 20 tickets on the outside of it. I've seen one lately where you get numbers 1 to 20 on the outside of an envelope. You pay in 20 rand, you put it in the inside of the envelope, and also in the inside of the envelope is a number between 1 and 20. As soon as all 20 are sold, they pull a number and that person gets 50% of what's in there. So, you know, there's like 400 rand in there, 200 goes to the charity or to the person raising funds, and the other 200 rand goes as a prize. You know, they can be simple, they can be a draw. I mean, often you find, you know, father's club or kids going away on tour where the fathers donate, they're able to donate a sheep, they're able to donate a welder, they're able to donate, you know, car washers and things like that. And you find a string of 10, 15 prizes and you buy your tickets at 10 rand a ticket, 20 rand a ticket, whatever. And there's a specific draw date and it must take place officially. So, you know, there must be a production. There must be a record of it. You must be entitled to check on it. So, you know, your fundraising obligations are not there. You can't just decide, oh, I'm unemployed, I'm going to stand on the corner I'm going to steal a kettle from one of the supermarkets and I'm going to raffle the kettle so that my family can survive. Very good idea, but not allowed. You know, you can't do that type of thing because the theft of the kettle starts and makes it illegal. So that's where you are there.
And if I bought the kettle and...
No, if you bought the kettle, there's no reason why you can't, so long as it's legal, so long as you've got 20 tickets and... And the kettle is there and it's legit. I mean, there's no reason why you can't do it. But it's, you know, you must make sure that it's done correctly. So your schools and raffle forms are there to be sorted. Personal things are to be sorted. I suppose it will make a difference with me taking a ticket. If you're selling tickets for yourself to survive, unless I really know that you're battling and that, I don't think that I would buy a ticket from any stranger just on the street. For the sake of him surviving. But I mean, you know, when you look at it, though, that's why we've got these beggars on almost each and every corner. You know, people that are unemployed, people can't find employment. You know, I see there's one guy in East London, he says, I'm now a pensioner, I need extra money, and he stands on the corners. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you know, I don't know whether he's doing it as a joke or what, but he seems to be getting money. He's got a bag there and people are putting in there. You know, feeling sorry for him, one doesn't know. And that type of thing. You know, you've also got to make sure that you've got a prize date. So you can't roll over, you know. So often you hear people saying, oh, geez, we meant to sell 500 tickets. We've only sold 40. We're not going to do the draw. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, your rules and regulations don't allow for you to decide when you're going to do the prize, you know, award. There must be an end date. That's very important. So, you know, that's one of the things. So you've got to include all the information on a ticket. If it's a list, you must have it on the list itself with a date when it would be drawn. You must stipulate where it will be drawn. You know, you can't just say draw to take place on the 10th of July. You must say, at, you know, Joseph School, 6 p.m., the draw will take place. So, you know, people are entitled to be there if they want to, which they don't normally do. But the ticket and the raffle ticket must be clear and visible. It must take a closing date, the draw date. And, you know, sometimes you have restrictions. Often you find alcohol in a draw. You know, it's not uncommon for people to donate a bottle of brandy, a bottle of whiskey, and that type of thing. So in circumstances like that as well, a child can't take a ticket because you can't give alcohol to a child under the age of 18. You need to be careful in that regard with your prizes as well. So the transparency is to make sure that it's correct. You know, the way you do the draw as well, you can't just come along and say out of the head, okay, you know, what ticket number is going to win, because that couldn't be transparent. You know, you must have basically a drum or something, a spinning drum, or ask a natural person who's not participating to give you a lucky number between 1 and 100, or pick a number in a bag and that type of thing. So, you know, it those are the best practices for raffles and that type of thing, to make sure that it's smooth. You know, make sure that it's all above board, that it's clear what the rules and regulations are, what the prizes are. So, you know, the first one is your rules and regulations. If we sum it up, you must have rules and regulations. You must have a price. You must have your prizes stipulated. You must have a draw date that's going to happen. You must have your method of how you're going to draw the lucky ticket. Of the lucky ticket draw, you know, is it going to be in a drum? Is it going to be in a bag? You know, you must have, with your draw date as well, goes the place where it will take place, place and time that it will take place. And then, of course, you know, like I mentioned, the prizes must be set out clearly as well. And, of course, you know, it's also necessary to say what it is in aid of. You know, it might be in aid of a rugby tour, might be in aid of raising funds for a swimming pool to be fixed or corrected. You know, I remember when I was at school, we had a building that was done to an addition onto our hall, which was too small, and that type of thing. You know, we had away tours, which were very common, and I think are still very common. So it was specified, shall I say, you know, what the funds were for.
Right,
yeah. You know, it wasn't just a raffle ticket. Joseph School's having a raffle. I've got a sheep, you know, that's it. And yeah, you know, you get a lot of these little youngsters that hang around the supermarkets with a list from 1 to 20. You don't even know if the prize exists. I mean, I just feel sorry for them and give them the money. Their eyes light up if you give them like a note or something like that, which is lovely to see. But whether or not there's ever a draw that takes place, one doesn't know. You know, they come with a book with numbers 1 to 20 and the school stamped on the book. One never knows if that goes back to the school or whatever. But let's not say people are dishonest. Let's trust in them. I always support them. Unfortunately, I am one of those.
And so I suppose the differentiator there would be it's got the school stamp on, which basically you would assume. I mean, of course, the stamp could have been just as easily stolen, but it's got the school stamp that sort of adds a level of legitimacy. So, you know, from that point onwards, it's up to that individual selling the tickets who's trying to crook people.
Absolutely. You know, I remember Wayne at Crossways, before they started with the school that's been abandoned, they used to play soccer on the corner there. And I recall one day a whole group of little boys coming to me to say, oh, we need kit for soccer and we're selling tickets to be able to raise kit, you know. And I tested them. I said, okay, take it back to whoever's in charge of you. At the time, I had some friends that were in the manufacturing of clothing business. And I said, you tell me what you want, bring it back, tell me how much money you've got, and I'll find somebody to help. And I was proudly associated with it, with the late Pierre Blom, a friend of mine, that we managed to sponsor them, you know, with 20 jerseys, 20 pairs of socks, 20 pairs of pants, and a couple of soccer balls. They were genuine.
Yeah.
They didn't collect a hell of a lot of money, but between a couple of us, we put some funds in. It didn't cost us an arm and a leg, and we were able to get them out. So, you know, that plays a special place in my life,
and
that I was able to do that at that stage. And I think a lot of people do that, which is nice, yeah.
So possibly,
you know, not all of them are out there.
Yeah, not all of them are crooked.
Some of them are genuine.
Possibly, you know, if you are planning on supporting them, maybe just do a little bit of background checks, and if it does check out legit, then maybe encourage people to support any given fundraising efforts.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with us that time. I think we sponsored them for about 3 or 4 years until the building started and the soccer moved. I don't know where they ever went to.
Actually,
you know, they weren't on the corner there.
I think they've moved to the fields outside the showgrounds. Because often soccer happens there, and they've all got different coloured shirts, and it's actually quite a colourful affair on a Saturday and Sunday afternoons.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
So.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah. Peter, if somebody's maybe, you know, in this day and age, fundraising, as you mentioned, is a big thing. If somebody's maybe thinking of putting together a fundraising campaign, and they maybe want to get in touch with you for legal advice, how do they go about it?
Yes, they can find us at Allen's Attorneys. We're situated at Sansom Road in Berea. Telephone 043-7211-018. Or they can like us on Facebook. Just add a S to A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for sugar. They can look us up on Wild Coast FM as well. They'll find all our details there. We're only a phone call away, and we'll help with pleasure.
Great. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great week, and we'll chat again next week, Monday.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Peter. Take care. That's Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle.